It's the Buckeye Leafcast with your host, Andy Evans, and special guest, Kevin Imes.
I had a friend of mine, she just bought a house, she had a housewarming party at 5 o'clock. I'm like, the game starts at 4:30. She's like, well, we're playing Army. And I said, I don't care who we're playing. The game starts at 4:30. I'll be there at 9, maybe. You're telling me that you and your wife are going to have a conversation about what kind of paint you want in your living room? No, I'm not coming.
And now, it's the Buckeye Leafcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've gone and done it again. You've downloaded another edition of the Buckeye Leafcast with your hosts. I'm Andy Evans, and coming along for the ride once again this week is my man. Get to know this name quite well, folks, because you're going to be hearing a whole lot of him throughout this 2019 football season. I'm talking about the one and only Mr. Kevin Imes.
Good morning, Andy Evans. How you doing today, brother?
What's up, dude? Man, once again, Kevin, I'm feeling great. We are waking up here on a Sunday. The weather might not be as nice here in Central Ohio as it was last weekend, but the fact that the Buckeyes, once again, not only winning their game on Saturday, but doing it in style and just absolutely decimating another Big Ten opponent is a great way to spend a Sunday, brother. I can't think of any better way. Can you?
No, not at all. Absolutely. And if you want to get the attention of the college football playoff folks, a way to do that is to handle some business in a pretty tough environment in Nebraska and Lincoln, but put up some nice style points. We looked exceptionally well on both sides of the ball yesterday.
48-7, Kevin. Final score, 5th-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes just walked all over the 3-1 Nebraska Cornhuskers, as you said, out there in Lincoln. And yeah, that's not an easy place to play. And the fact that Ohio State rolled in there and took care of business, they were only, air quotes, only 17.5-point favorites. And at the end of the first half, it was 38-0. Buckeyes were just absolutely looking dominant on both sides of the ball. Our buddy Justin Fields, 15-21 through the air, 212 yards, 3 touchdown passes, and no interceptions. Did take 3 sacks, however, but nonetheless, looked really good in the win. He also chipped in, almost had his second 100-yard game of the season, had 95 yards rushing, he had 72 yards rushing.
72 yards.
Yeah, because of the sacks, my bad. He did have 72. But nonetheless, you know, technically 12 carries, 72 yards, and had that had that touchdown run. Also a 41-yard scamper who helped in those 72 yards. But looked good. Rushing-wise, though, Kevin, 368 total yards on the ground. Our boy, J.K., chipped in nearly half of those yards, 24 carries for the day, 177 yards, yet not able to get into the end zone. So,
yeah, I mean, I get it. I'd love to see him score, of course. I looked over at my wife last night and I said, man, I hope he gets to 200. And then, of course, Master Teague comes in there and spells him a little bit, ends up giving over 100 yards himself with 2 touchdowns. Well, so I love Dobbins. I love seeing him play, and I like the changeup. I know we talked about it last week, and I'm not saying that Dobbins isn't a hard runner. He's a hard runner, but Master Teague, my goodness sakes, he looks like a mini Emmitt Smith out there.
Oh, man, he is. It's, you know, back in the day, I remember when Clemson had who were those guys' names? But they were a couple of guys, they were like Flash and Dash, you know, and
I remember. Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and remember when USC had Reggie Bush and, oh God, what was the one other guy's name? what the hell was that guy's name that was opposite Reggie Bush? But they called him Thunder and Lightning because one guy...
Thunder and Lightning, yeah.
Reggie Bush was obviously the Lightning and was so fast. And the other guy, which, God, I can't believe his name escapes me right now, was the Thunder part. And that's who... You know, both these guys remind me of that kind of tandem. However, they both have both parts of their game. You know, Dobbins will lower his head and will take people on and will just fight for yards. And Master Teague can definitely, he gets out in open space, man. You can kiss him goodbye. Because he
I didn't realize how fast he was. I didn't realize how fast he was till yesterday. Lindale White is the name you're looking for God. For Thunder and Lightning.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
I was thinking of Rondale, but I was like, that's not right. Lendale White. Thank you, thank you. Yeah. He is. Oh, my goodness. Master Teague, man. Yeah, he can turn on the Jets. And actually, to correct you, he, at least according to the stats I'm looking at, the official final stats, he had 77 yards on the ground last night. Two touchdowns.
Oh, I was looking at total yards.
Rushing.
He had a couple. Yeah.
But he had a 28-yard catch, so...
Yes.
Yeah, so he did have over 100 total yards in the game. But, yeah, Master Teague, J.K. Dobbins, and it is... You know, it's comforting, though, to know, dude, that when they're going to spell J.K., which is a great idea. I mean, hell, he still had 24 carries. But when they do spell him, you've got a guy that is probably going to be an NFL draft pick in Master Teague, backing him up.
It does seem as so. It does seem as so. It is nice to have another Sunday player in the backfield, like you said, to go ahead and give J.K. a little bit of a break. Because, like you said, he's toting the ball a lot, an awful lot this year. I was completely surprised by how many times we ran the ball yesterday. That's a lot of yards on the ground. I know that we want to be balanced, but it just seemed like it was a run show. And I wanted to see the gun show, damn it.
It's the gun show. Whip out the guns, baby. Yeah, 53 carries last night for 368 yards. That was the most yards rushing, Kevin, they've had since their season opener last year against Oregon State when they ran for 375. But this is their second 300-yard game of the season because they had like 306 against Indiana a couple weekends ago. But,
right.
You know, Ryan Day, that was the one thing that they were talking about as far as the game plan against Nebraska was concerned, is they knew that they could come out and run the football, and yeah, that indeed they did.
Yeah, and they look very strong doing it as well.
Yeah.
So it is nice to see. And it's not like Nebraska's offensive line is Miami, or defensive line is Miami's defensive line. Nebraska's is a legit Big Ten team, so maybe they could win the West. I don't know. Second place in the West. But still, it's not like they weren't pushing around, you know, 250-pound linemen. You know, they had some big linemen on that side of the ball.
Yeah, well, and that was kind of the one knock on Nebraska, though, is that their rush defense was not real good. So through five games now, as far as their rushing statistics are concerned in the Big Ten, they're like third from last. Only Rutgers, who is dead last, and Michigan are worse against the run right now than Nebraska.
That's good.
I mean, gee, man, eat Christmas, you know? Yeah, that was just that was good to see that the Buckeyes could pile on the yards on the ground. And, you know, well, yeah, only 22 passes all game. Justin Fields threw 21 of them. But still, you know, 212 through the air, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, some guys getting in on the act last night, receiving. K.J. Hill, 5 catches, led the team, was second in yards with 39, had a touchdown grab on all 5 of his targets. He caught every single pass. Austin Mack led the team in receiving yards with 66 on 3 catches. Also had a touchdown and had a beautiful 38-yard out and up route that he completely broke the ankles on that Nebraska cornerback. I don't know if you remember that play or not.
I do, very vividly. Yes, I do. Like,
God.
Nice out and up. I'd like to see him get his hands on the ball the correct way. He had his hands up, not out. He looked very nice on that catch. He looked very nice.
Yeah, just the fact that, I mean, he went out, jukes his head to the right, makes the defender bite and then just cuts it upfield. And yeah, had it not been maybe just a tad overthrown, and like you said, if he had had his hands in the correct position, he could have caught it on the fly and been gone. But instead, he caught it, stumbled, you know, and fell on the turf, but still, just a beautiful 38-yard catch, and for Austin Mack, and good to see him. You know, we've talked about KJ and Austin Mack. Seems like they're getting kind of left behind because of guys like the emergence of Chris Olave, like the emergence of the freshman phenom Garrett Wilson, who had one catch last night, Kevin, one catch, and it was near, like, early in the fourth quarter, and it was the last touchdown the Buckeyes scored, but that one catch was good for a 6-yard touchdown, and, dude, the way that he tippy-toed and got, like, 3 steps down when he was practically running out of the back of the end zone was just unbelievable. I mean, the kid continues to amaze me.
Very, very acrobatic catch by an 18-year-old. Looks like he belongs on the field. He and Benjamin Victor kind of off and on that X receiver. I don't know what else to say except, good God! I mean, he looks like he's next, right? I mean, he's catching that ball. Of course, we're giving Austin Mack tons of credit, but that was a pretty well thrown football too. I mean, that wasn't a bad pass either.
Oh,
so one athlete throwing it to another athlete, looks like for the next 2 years we're going to see those two hook up quite a bit.
Oh man, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Justin Fields put that ball right on the money, right over Wilson's right shoulder, basket catch, and then once again for Wilson to just maintain possession of the ball and awareness and to get 3 steps down in the end zone to complete the touchdown was just, it was crazy, dude. It was nuts. So, defensively, though, dude, Ohio State, brother, is light years from where they were at last year. I mean, it is amazing. And we talked about this last week. And I have a feeling we're going to continue to talk about it throughout this season. But the difference between last year, Kevin, and this year is just
amazing.
It's astounding, dude. It is absolutely crazy how much difference guys like Washington, Madison, and Jeff Hafley have brought to this team. It's just a whole new attitude. The Silver Bullets are back. I mean, they're back, dude.
Silver Bullets are back, and it's good to see. Ryan Day did when he took over the Buckeyes, January last year, after we won the Rose Bowl, well, against Washington. First thing he did was went out and got co-defensive coordinators. And it's definitely paying off. The speed on defense is quite amazing. The switch from man-to-man to zone, I think, makes a big difference in the backfield, defensive backfield. And then the athletes up front are amazing. And we got some pretty good linebackers as well. So, and we haven't even talked about Chase Young. So, you know, we've got the best defensive player in the country. We probably have the best defensive back in the country. We're very solid. And I like the zone. Jeff Okuda is absolutely amazing. Had 2 interceptions yesterday. His closing speed on that wheel route that they ran in the first quarter, Nebraska threw a little wheel route, and his closing speed was amazing to me. He looked like the fastest guy on earth. So, defense has come quite a long way. And it's also great to see Jonathan Cooper out there finally getting his first start this year.
Yes, yeah, that was good to see when they announced that he would more than likely be playing, and then I finally saw number 18 out there getting in the mix. That was definitely great to see. I mean, you know, fifth-year senior co-captain, you definitely want him out on the field. Not that they've, I mean, I'm not trying to dog the dude, but not that they've necessarily needed him up at this point, but still, they're probably going to need him, and definitely his presence and his leadership, you know, come later on in the season when they really start getting into the teeth of the Big Ten. But, yeah, you know, Buckeyes held Nebraska to 231 total yards, 76, Kevin, at halftime when the score was 38-0. And as you just stated, Jeff Okuda with two interceptions. Jordan Fuller chipped in a pick. They had three on the game, four sacks, eight tackles for loss. And then, yes, your boy, Chase Young. Let's just call him Mr. Strip Sack, dude. I mean,
that's right. I mean, it's like that's what he was born to do. For some reason, the gods reached down from wherever they reached down, and they gave it to him. They gave him the Strip Sack lightning bolt. It just, he just comes off the edge. He used the club on the first one, the club move, where he pushes the offensive tackle to the outside instead of the inside, and he went right inside and still got it. So it's his speed off the ball. It's unbelievable. I think the new term they're calling it now is the get off, his get off. I don't really like that term. It sounds kind of weird to me. But his initial first step, and he gets moving, you can't stop him. I think Penn State has a really good left tackle, or right tackle, so we'll see. If maybe Penn State can slow him down, but I don't think anybody else can slow him down.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, with you watch them, their defensive alignments, you know, one play Chase Young will be on the right side of the line, then they'll flip him over to the left. I mean, they just like to kind of intermingle these guys in and out, you know, I mean, and that's, I think because of their depth and strength on the defensive line, that helps Chase Young. Because they're wearing, I mean, it helps everybody, but when you got a guy like Chase Young, who's not necessarily out there for every single play getting tired, and he's staying fresh, I mean, he may have only had three tackles and the one sack, but he's still getting in the backfield and making disruptions. And when you have a deep defensive line where you can keep a guy like Chase Young as fresh as possible for a majority of the game, dude, it's lights out, baby. It's over. It's all over.
It's scary. What you would like to see from an offensive standpoint when you're going up against somebody like a Chase Young, is you'd like to see the back be able to rub off a little bit and help on the outside there. But they really can't. They can't do that because there's so much disruption coming at them at all times, at the offense at all times. I love the way that they stack the guys before the play, so they get that extra couple seconds before the offensive line realizes who they've got to block. And now they're thinking about this guy does this guy does that. So they have to. It takes a little bit more time for them to realize what's going on in the play. So I'm really excited about that aspect of it too. The way they stack the defensive linemen until the offensive line comes out.
Yeah, unbelievable, man. I mean, when you have that kind of depth at defensive line, you're going to be creating all sorts of headaches and problems for the other offense. And you mentioned Jeff Okuda, two interceptions. Dude, are we finally seeing the Jeff Okuda that we have been waiting to see for the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's playing his way into a top 10 pick. He's going to be another great Sunday player. Speed, unbelievable. He had a couple knockdowns yesterday. He plays the position the right way. He gets his head around. He's usually always in front of the receiver, which is, you know, a big deal if you're a defensive back. So I haven't seen him out of place very often. Like I said earlier, playing in the zone defense makes a huge difference for these guys. It makes it harder for the offense to attack certain spots. You have to have really good receivers when you're playing a zone defense because they've got to run really, really crisp routes. When you're playing man-to-man, the receivers can kind of improvise a little bit, kind of get away with being sloppy. But when you see that defense like they're playing this year, that zone defense, it makes it a lot harder on the offense. And then when you have closing speed like Okuda, what's the safety's name? I forget his name.
Fuller?
Off the top of my head.
Fuller?
Yes, when you see when you see the speed that those two guys have, that zone defense makes a huge difference.
Why in the hell weren't they playing zone before? You know, I mean, seriously, like, I don't get it. I would think that playing, mixing in some zone, I mean, you don't primarily want to play zone all the time because that does open up some holes in the defense. But you're constantly playing man, like you said, you can, you're going to wear out the defense. You know, the defensive backs are going to get worn out because they're constantly chasing a guy around the field. You know, however, you mix in that zone, you're going to obviously keep the offense a little more honest. You're going to confuse them a little bit more. And you keep your defensive guys a little fresher because they're not chasing somebody all around the friggin' field all game long.
Yeah, I think a lot of the reason why we didn't have a lot of zone last year is because athletes. I think that Urban Meyer loves athletes on the football field. I mean, that's what he's been doing for the last 20 years. So I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Urban Meyer thought that he had better athletes, and you play man-to-man when you think you have better athletes. Not that we don't have better athletes now, because of course we do, but all it does, like you said, is it allows the defensive backs more movement and less strain. So they're freer, and they might be moving around a little bit more, but they're not as strained playing somebody man-to-man and, like you said, chasing them around the field all the time.
Yeah, and you brought up the linebacker play. Baron Browning, Malik Harrison, both tied for the team lead last night in tackles, each with 7. Malik Harrison had a 4-yard sack. Browning had a tackle for a loss, as well as half a sack. Yeah, Jordan Fuller, 6 tackles in that pick last night. Pete Werner, did he get arrested after the game for that hit he put on that dude?
I think that he's texting me now for bail.
Okay.
Yeah. Man. I'll take care of it.
All right. Yeah, see what you can do to get old Peter out of jail, man. That was just, dude, he just clobbered that guy last night. I mean, whoo, boy. This defense just, once again, light years from where they were last year, and it's great to see the silver bullets back, dude.
Yeah, I tell you what, when he made that tackle, I think my testosterone level raised. So I can't imagine what it did for that young man.
I think if you were, yeah, any sort of football fan and a lover of Ohio State football, man, yeah, your testosterone level just jumped up after he just laid the wood to that dude. I mean, just absolutely
great. Old school football tackle. That was nice.
Old school, man. That's it, and that's what it seems like this defense is doing right now. They've gotten back to some basics. They're tackling better. They're not trying to do this, I'm going to crush you with my shoulder instead of, you know, I'm actually going to hit you with my shoulder and then wrap my arms around you to ensure.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I never did like that, where they just, I don't know what's like a thing.
Well,
thank
yeah.
God it's over.
Exactly, because, you know, these young kids, they get out there on the field and they want to prove that I can just simply lower my shoulder and tattoo you to the ground. I don't even need to wrap you up. Like, I can just blast you because I'm so strong and show you my prowess and my might that I don't even need to wrap you up. And that's just, you know, I mean, yeah, some guys maybe you can hit like that, but that ain't going to be very often you're laying those kinds of hits.
Right, I agree with you. I'm glad that fad or whatever it was is over with.
Yeah.
You don't see it too much anymore on any level. So.
Yeah. So, once again, though, I mean, what did you take away overall from last night's win in comparison with some of the other teams around the country? Or if you just want to keep it in the box as far as what you saw Ohio State do to Nebraska last night, you know, just your overall thoughts on where this team is at, where they could be headed, and, yeah, how maybe they stack up against the other teams in the country.
So a lot of times on Sunday morning when I wake up, one of the first things I like to do, but real quick, I want to talk about this for a second before we go there.
All right.
I got up this morning to take my daughter to church, and on the way back, I stop at the local whatever, gas station, IGA, whatever, here in town. And I haven't bought a Columbus Dispatch for quite a long time for many reasons, but I don't know what it was this morning. I'm like, I'm going to buy a Dispatch. I'm going to walk in there. I want the paper in my hand. I want to see the stats in my hand instead of the computer screen. I walk in to buy. I pick it up, go up to the counter. I get my $2 bill out. Lady says, $5.
$5? $5?
$5 for the Sunday Dispatch. When the hell did that happen? I have to pay $5 to read a 2-minute article by Tim May? Are you kidding me?
Well,
I don't understand what's going on.
Technically,
what is going on?
Technically, it wouldn't be Tim May anymore because he ain't writing for him.
Whatever. Whoever it is this week. But it just, I don't understand how it's $5. I think that the government needs to step in. I think Donald Trump needs to call the Columbus Dispatch and tell them it's against the law to sell a newspaper for a $5 bill. Anyway, what I took from the game, typically the first thing I do in the morning is I'll look at power rankings. I want to see where the Buckeyes fall nationally, especially after a win like that. I pull up the ESPN power rankings this morning, and we're second. So from a national standpoint, Whoa. My takeaway is, looks like Ryan Day and the Buckeyes have gotten some attention. Gotten a little bit of attention nationally, and that makes me excited. From an Ohio State standpoint, this defense takes me back to the late 90s,
yep.
early 2000s.
Yep.
It reminds me, everywhere on the defensive side of the football, you've got, starting-wise, you've got folks that we may see play on Sunday. Of course, the Chase Young and the Jeff Okuda, but Jonathan Cooper, Damon Arnett, athletes
Jordan
everywhere.
Fuller.
Jordan Fuller, yeah. So we've got guys that are pretty, pretty, pretty damn good. So my biggest takeaway from yesterday, and not to steal your thunder, I know we spoke about this earlier, but the defense. I mean, that's the biggest difference, right?
Yeah.
Last year we're scoring points.
Yep.
But we're letting the other team score a lot of points.
Yep.
So the defense is overwhelming. That's my takeaway.
Yeah, no, and you're absolutely right, and we did talk about that. Hey, please, steal away, sir. When it comes to us talking football, man, I mean, let's get it out there, and regardless of who says it, say it. And you're absolutely right. We talked about it, and I did say, you know, the one thing that really makes Ohio State look as dominant as they are right now is obviously the defense. You know, last year when you're beating Oregon State, one of the worst FBS Power 5 teams in the country, granted you're laying 77 points on them, but you're still allowing them to score 31. And think about Nebraska last year at home. You know, a team that had won two games, and granted had won those two games the 2 weeks prior to playing the Buckeyes in the Shoe last year, but still let that team, who was like 2-6 in that game, score 31 points.
And come back pretty strong in the second half. Remember that second half? They really came on strong.
Yep, yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with you. Nebraska 31.
Yep.
Purdue, of course, that disgusting 29-point loss to Purdue last year. Even Indiana scored 26. So, yeah, our defense has improved a great deal, and I know you bring up those names, the defensive coordinators, quite a bit. So, yeah, it seems like that's the difference. And then it was truly the first thing that Coach Day did when he took over in January. So it looks like he knew what needed to be fixed.
And it's, yeah, he absolutely 100%. Fixed it, and, well, I don't want to say 100%, I just did, but I'll backtrack a little bit. You know, at this point, I mean, it's damn near 100% efficiency, and I mean, hell, last night, you know, Nebraska gets a late garbage touchdown in the fourth quarter after Ohio State had a 48-0 lead, and of course, that was against, you know, the second and third teamers and the water boys and the jockstrap scrubbers and all that crap, so.
Right, but when you go to somebody else's home, you don't want to eat all their dinner, right? I mean, you want to let them at least have a bite.
Okay,
that's fine with me. I'm okay with letting them score touchdowns.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, hey, 41-point win on the road in Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska is nothing to sneeze at. And you're right. You know, you got to let your little brother, you know, and your offshoot cousins, I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say. You got to let the little guys eat every now and again, too. So
yeah, so it's all right. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, after that game, dude, Ohio State, nationally, still the second-ranked total defense in the country, third scoring offense, fifth in team passing efficiency. You know, the thing is, that's it. They're very efficient right now. Like, you know, you look at them stat-wise, and they're not...
We don't need to be. We score almost every time we touch the football. You're not going to have crazy stats when you do that, well, right?
And yeah, and it seems like, you know, this hurry up offense that they, you know, typically ran under Urban, which was sometimes a hurry up and then kind of wait kind of deal, you know what I mean? Where they'd get to the line, they'd set real quick, they'd fake it, and then they'd stop, and they'd look back to the sideline and get the play, and, you know, but it just seems like that they've kind of taken a step back from that a little bit. They're not as, you know, hurry up and get to the line and then kind of sit there and wait kind of deal. It's like, okay, they finished the play, they don't have a huddle, you know, they don't break from a huddle, but they, you know, just get up to the line, kind of look over, get the play, take their time to really set themselves. And, you know, to your point, yeah, they don't need to be crazy fast because they're being so efficient with the football. Like to, you know, and that would probably be a cool stat to take a look at. How many drives has Ohio State scored? You know, whether it be a field goal or a touchdown. You know, how many of their offensive drives this year have they ended up scoring on and had to rely on Drew Chrisman to come out and punt, which he's probably an NFL guy too. I mean, he is. Oh my God. And when you've got an NFL type punter who punted one time last night, granted it was for 59 yards, which did go into the end zone for a touchback, so a 39-yard net average, but still, you know, and you barely have to use him, but it's nice to know that you've got a weapon there in the event that you do have to use him, he's there. But, yeah, I'd like to see how many times they've had the ball that have resulted in scoring drives, like that percentage.
Yeah, that would be nice to see.
Yeah.
But like you said, how often have we seen our punter on the field? Our punter and our tight ends have kind of like disappeared from our offense.
Dude, the Florida Atlantic, man, I was like, whoa, okay, they just threw two touchdown passes to Jeremy Ruckert. Okay, yep. The tight end is back. And yeah, the tight end has disappeared since that game. Except for Luke Farrell's one catch last night, and I think Ruckert had a catch at some point, you know.
He had one catch.
Who's that?
Ruckert.
Rucker, yeah, since his two touchdown catches.
Correct.
Yeah, one catch. I mean, you have an NFL tight end there to utilize, right, and they're not utilizing him. So,
you've got so much talent all over the field.
I know,
defense, but I mean, from Olave to Garrett Wilson to, you know,
KJ Hill, Austin Mack, Ben Victor.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Well,
I love Austin Mack. I do. I love Austin Mack.
Well, you have stated to me on a couple of different occasions, you know, via text or on the phone when we're not doing the podcast, that Ohio State at any time, whenever, you know, they put their receivers on the field, they've pretty much got an NFL receiver at virtually every spot on the field.
That's right. That's really neat to look at.
Yeah, that's it. And when you have that kind of talent, I guess, you know, I'm not sitting here saying what do you need the tight end for, but, you know, you only have so much time and so many people to spread the ball to, and when you got that kind of talent at wide receiver, I guess, you know, some people are unfortunately going to get left in the dust.
Well, my guess is Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Penn State were probably going to need that tight end. So I think we'll see him come alive then. When we talk about moving forward, I don't know if you're ready to talk about moving forward or not. Moving forward, you know, we got Michigan State next week. We got Maryland and Rutgers pinned between Wisconsin and Penn State. I hope that one of those teams doesn't become a Purdue. But I think what we're going to see now, Michigan State, Northwestern, Wisconsin, I think we're going to see some stats start to stack up. They're going to see us on the field more. Our time of possession is going to get – it's not going to be as easy. So
yeah.
I think, you know, moving forward, we're going to see Ruckert. We're going to see these guys get some – get the tight end's going to get in there a little bit more. I think we're going to see a few more punts. I think – I think we are one of the top four teams in the country, but I don't know that we're just going to roll through the season.
Oh, I don't think so either. You know, we got Michigan State now coming up this coming Saturday. We'll get into them in here in a second. But, you know, people are probably going to now start saying, because Nebraska was supposed to be the quote-unquote first big test, right? And, of course, the Buckeyes aced that final with flying colors. Now everybody's probably going to be saying, well, now it's Michigan State. Now we'll find out how for real Ohio State is when they play Michigan State. You know, talking, you just said it, you think Ohio State is definitely a playoff contention team and one of the top four teams in the country. I mean, how do you think that they would stack up against Clemson, Bama, Georgia, LSU, you know, even a Notre Dame, you know, an Auburn, a Florida, you know, teams that are within the top 10, Oklahoma. Do you think Ohio State can easily hang with those kinds of teams neck and neck?
I absolutely think we can. I don't think that Ohio State's going to have an issue hanging with anybody in the country. I think this is one of the best teams we've seen in a long time coming from Columbus, Ohio. I'm very excited about the outlook nationally, especially, like I said, when I wake up and I look at the power rankings and we're two. LSU's offense is pretty gosh darn good. I think they were off yesterday, right?
Yeah, they
were. I think
were.
LSU is one of the – they have one of the best – I think they might be the best team in the country. I don't like when folks talk trash about other squads, but I don't think Alabama could hang with us.
Really?
I don't think they could. I don't. You put a CUDA on that receiver that got 257 or whatever he got yesterday, shut him down. But I don't want to get into all that's. I'll go too deep with the Alabama stuff. I think Clemson's a. Overrated. I don't think they're that good. I think that when you play a type of schedule that Clemson plays, it benefits you a great deal because you're fresh every week, and then when you have to play somebody in the playoffs, you're fresh. You're ready to go. Nobody's injured. Nobody's hurt. Nobody's tired. When you don't have to go through the gauntlet of an SEC team or a Pac-12 team or even a Big Ten team this year, I think it's a little... Scheduling to me in college football is ridiculous. Auburn, I think Auburn is very, very good on defense. But then yesterday, I'm watching Auburn play, and they looked amazing on offense. I mean, they had three different running backs score a touchdown yesterday in the first half. I think. I mean, they looked amazing. So my look is LSU, Auburn, us. Not in a ranking, but. LSU, Auburn, and us is probably the top three teams, and then I'll go with Clemson and Alabama fourth and fifth.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, after Clemson's game last night against North Carolina now, I mean, give North Carolina a ton of credit, but, you know, the one knock on Clemson so far this year is that they just haven't looked real crisp. They haven't looked as dominant, especially offensively, like they were last year, and Trevor Lawrence just looks kind of a little bit off, you know what I mean?
But when you win 20 games in a row.
I know. It's hard to knock that. That's what's crazy. They're the defending national champs. They won all 15 games last year, and they've so far won, what, four or five to start the season now.
The last game they lost was the national championship to Alabama.
Okay, there you go.
So that's the last game they lost. So I think when you win like that, it's hard. It's got to be hard. We all know that Clemson is worlds better than North Carolina, and that's why Mac Brown went for the 2-point conversion. We get it. I understand.
My God.
What he's doing. The longer that North Carolina was on the field with Clemson, the worse it was going to get. So I get it. I do get it. I hate the call. I hate the play call.
Terrible call. Well, and if the quarterback, if Howell had handed off to the running back on that play, it was a read option.
We'd be talking about something else.
Yeah.
We'd be talking about something else.
That running back had a clear lane up the middle. Now, he probably would have met somebody at the goal line, but I think he would have been in for two.
But you'd like to see that he would have been able to run. That was a defensive back. It wasn't a safety. It was a corner from the backside corner, because they didn't have anybody split out on the wide side of the field, and they ran a triple option. Well, basically a triple option, but
yeah.
They ran an option to the short side of the field.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's their problem, not ours.
Right.
Yeah, I'm starting to think now, are these teams going to be able to hang with us instead of us hanging with them? I think that's the question.
Wow.
I think LSU is the best team in the country, though.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun to take them on and have a little reunion with Mr. Joey B?
Yeah, Burrows and Fields going at it.
Yeah.
The two guys that transferred.
Yeah.
You know what I learned yesterday? I didn't know this. Did you know that Fields initially committed to Penn State?
No, I did not.
That was something that they said yesterday during the broadcast, and I didn't realize that.
Huh. Yeah, no, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't realize that either. So then what do you think? This weekend, Sparty, they're going to be ranked. I think they're what, like 24th or something like that?
I think they were 24th yesterday. We'll see if they move up a little. What did they score, 59 yesterday?
Yeah, actually, they round out the top 25, at least according to the AP top 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they decimated, God, no, wait, time out, back up. No, they had a crazy tight game at home with Indiana yesterday.
Oh, that's right. Michigan scored 59.
Michigan rolled Rutgers. That Rutgers team, you said, hey, don't overlook Rutgers. And,
don't sleep on Rutgers. I guess they could have slept all they wanted, huh? I'll take that one. So yesterday was 40-31. They played at home, right?
Yeah, I think it was, God, what was the final score? Yeah, it was home. Oh, that's right, yeah, because it was 34-31, and then they got a stupid, cheap scoop and score, fumble in the end zone, they recovered, like, at the very end of the game to put the capper on it. So, that 40...
Yeah, so they give up 31 points to Indiana at home.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
What do you think is going to happen to them in 6 days at 7:30 at night with Ohio State possibly being ranked third or fourth as we move up? I think we move up. I think Clemson falls and we move up. But anyway, what do you think Michigan State's going to give up in Columbus, Ohio at 7:30 at night? Everybody's had all day to get lathered up. People are going to be crying. A night game at Ohio State is a sight to see. And I think Michigan State's going to be in trouble.
Well, you know, the one thing that the Spartans can kind of hang their hat on, their offense is pretty smelly. I have never been impressed with Brian Lewerke. He's just who he is. I mean, he's in an offense where, quite frankly, the head coach, D'Antonio, he's a defensive guy, of course. But he really doesn't care. I don't want to say he doesn't care about the offense, but he would obviously rather focus, you know, his team on being stout defensively. And they're not bad this year. I think they're like fourth in the Big Ten overall defense. They are second, I know that, against the run. They're only allowing, like, I think 55 yards a game on the ground. Their pass defense, however, a little susceptible through the air, but I think they're like right around the middle of the conference in pass defense. But I would gamble to say, once again, the glass half empty, the pessimist in me, you know, the guy who wants to play a little bit of reverse psychology on myself, I always try and temper my expectations and pull them back. But at this point, Ohio State has completely blown away all of my expectations on both sides of the football. I knew they were going to be better defensively this season, but not to this extent. And, yeah, welcoming in a Michigan State team with a very average at best, if not below average, offense against this Ohio State defense. And then, just the way that Ohio State offensively has been rolling. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt if it gets ugly this weekend. And by ugly, I mean, three touchdowns or more.
Yeah, so the one thing about Michigan State is, like I said, I don't like to talk trash about other squads. 1998.
Oh.
I remember 1998. Do you remember that game?
Oh, I was at that game. I remember it like
I was at yesterday. That game, too. I was actually sitting in the old Block O.
So was I.
Yeah, so that's odd. Okay, so you remember the game. Nick Saban's the head coach at Michigan State, that bastard Nick Saban. 2 days before before the game, my buddy Phil Pack and I bought tickets to the Fiesta Bowl in Tempe, Arizona, because that's where the BCS National Championship was going to be played. And we were 100% sure we were going. 100% sure. So we're sitting in the Block O. We scored, I think, we didn't score in the second half, I don't think.
If I remember correctly, I don't know if it was early second half or late first half, but I remember the last score of the game that Ohio State had was a Damon Moore pick six. He intercepted the ball, ran it into the end zone to make it like 24-9, and then Ohio State stopped Michigan State on like, you know, the next possession or a couple possessions later, something like that, and that's when the punt went off of Nate Clements' back. Michigan State recovered it, and that was the turning point in the game, because then Michigan State, all second half, dude, all second half, Bill Burke to Plaxico Burress. All second half. And he just kept lobbing it up to Burress, dude. And Burress was what?
So that catch in the back of the south end zone, it would have been the southeast corner of the end zone, opposite from where we were sitting, was the catch that broke my heart. Yep. I was all set to go. I remember, so we leave the game, and we went to Taco Bell on South High Street, and I think we cried.
Yeah.
I think we cried. I mean, it was so Michigan State.
I don't mean to laugh, but I mean,
what I'm trying to get at is Michigan State usually plays us tough. Okay? But with that being said, you give up 31 to Indiana at home. Come on.
Well, yeah, and heck, you can even, you know, go back just, hey, 4 years ago. In 1998. Only loss Ohio State had that whole year at home to Michigan State. 2015, defending
night
national champs.
That was a night game, too, yeah.
Night game, Michigan State in the shoe. Yeah, the terrible offensive play calling. Zeke was in the hospital earlier in the week with a big fat goiter on his leg that had to get surgically removed. Yeah, and they lose on a last-second field goal, 17-14. However, let's just go back 2 years ago to the last time the Spartans were in the shoe, toting the nation's best rushing defense, and all Ohio State did was put up like 335 yards on the ground and 35 points. So, and it was like a 35-3 game. So,
That's Mike Weber. That's Mike Weber's coming out party, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, he went nuts in that game 2 years ago. Just berserk. Yep. So, you know, having said that, you know, I don't know if they've even come out with a line yet on the game. I'm sure somebody probably has. You probably would know that better than me. I just don't pay attention to, like, lines and over-unders and that kind of stuff very much. But at any rate, whatever the line is, I would say they're going to beat it. I mean, they're probably favored by, like, you know, 15, 17. They're going to go into the game, you know, favored, you know, something to that extent, I'll bet. And, hey, I wouldn't doubt it if, like I said, you know, it's a three-touchdown game. You know, at this point, I don't see them running into a very hard team until, quite frankly, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's going to be rough. I'm looking forward to it.
Wisconsin's going to be
we can't look ahead, Andy. We can't look ahead.
You're right. We're looking too far ahead.
Yeah, so I do like the lines. I get a little excited about those. I do a little dabbling in that. We're a 13.5 point favorite in that game.
Okay.
So we're at home. It's at night. 13.5, I think I would jump on that number right now.
Yep.
Because I think Ohio State covers and covers big. Michigan State does have a little bit of an offense. I'll give them that. Let's say, just to be nice, let's say 49-10.
Whew, boy, that doesn't sound too nice to me, but
it sounds nice. It does sound nice compared to what some of these other guys, what some of these other squads are doing, like Alabama and Oklahoma, and
that's true.
Hell, even Auburn.
Yeah,
they're just throwing points on the board just to throw points on the board.
Well, we are talking about an Ohio State team that won 76-5 two weekends ago, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when they can't even stop your fourth-string running back? I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, I know. I know what you're saying. Yeah, at that point, yeah, I mean, you can't not let guys play and score if, you know, if you still got your first team out at that point, then, yeah, come on. But when you got your third and fourth, you know, stringers out there and they're still scoring, then, yeah, I mean, there's not much you can do about that. But, so 49-10, you know, once again, I'm going to play a little more conservatively. I'm not impressed with Michigan State's offense. I could see them scoring at least 10 points. However, I think that, here we go, this is going to be the best team so far that Ohio State has played this year. And this is going to be the big test for the Buckeyes this coming weekend because it is going to be a ranked Michigan State team. Technically, this is going to be the first ranked team that Ohio State is going to play. But I just don't see Michigan State's offense being effective enough to overcome Ohio State's defense. And I don't think that their overall defense, Michigan State's, is good enough to completely stop Ohio State. Maybe slow them down at times, throw a few wrinkles in there, kind of confuse the Buckeyes. I think that Michigan State's going to come out a little hot and heavy. They're going to kind of confuse Ohio State, but, you know, Ohio State's going to overcome that, you know, as the game goes on. They're going to figure them out, and I think Ohio State puts, I think Ohio State puts 31 points on the board, and I'm going to go with 10 as well. So I think 31-10. Yeah, I'm going to pull back a little bit, reserve myself, but I think a 31-10 game, you know, that still covers the spread, and you win by 3 touchdowns against a ranked Big Ten opponent that's in your division. That's going to be a key win for later on in the season for both teams, whoever wins. But, yeah, I think the Buckeyes get it done for sure.
Yeah, we'll take care of business, and then who's next? On to Wisconsin? No.
No, Wisconsin's not until like the end of October.
There's somebody else mixed in there.
After Michigan State. Well, I think you just said it. Don't they have... Well, no, that's between Wisconsin and Penn State.
Yeah, between Wisconsin and Penn State, it's rough. We got Northwestern the next week.
Okay.
And that's a late game in Chicago.
Yeah.
So.
Friday night, 8 o'clock game. That's weird. I don't like that.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that's about. It's a... Talk to the scheduling gods.
TV, man. It's all about TV.
Oh, Jesus. Whatever.
You know, I know. But, well, hey, brother, before we wrap it up, anything you'd like to talk about, or have we covered all bases, you think?
I would really like for somebody to talk to the Columbus Dispatch about their price for Sunday paper. I mean, come on.
You hear that? Bill Rabinowitz or Joey Kaufman or Ray Stein, somebody over there at the Dispatch, talk to whoever is setting the prices of your Sunday paper. Because it's obviously...
They're gouging me.
That's why you ain't buying it next week, I'll bet.
No, I'm not. You know what? I didn't even get to this part of it. They don't even have the line for the game. It was too late for them. They don't have the stats.
Huh. Well, yeah, and that's the foibles of paper. You know what I'm saying? Have to have like your articles in at a certain point so it can hit the print and be distributed. Yeah. So yeah, those late games are kind of screwy when they don't, they don't have everything in them. You know, but
it's not like it was 1 o'clock in the morning for Christ's sake. They have all their articles written. They could have put the line in there. If you look at the paper today and you look at the standings in the Big Ten, we're number 2 behind Michigan State because they have 2 wins and we only have 1.
Come
on, it's Columbus, it's Ohio State. You can't keep one guy there late to put in, come on, I don't know, whatever. I digress.
There you go, my man Kevin Iams sounding off here on the Buckeye Leafcast, letting everybody out there know what needs to be done here in Central Ohio when it comes to our local damn newspaper. So, hey, Kevin, thanks for coming on, brother. I much appreciate it, as always, man. And I can't wait to do this again next week and talk about another big Buckeye win over Sparty.
I appreciate it, Andy Evans. Thanks for having me. I always enjoy this. This is going to be a new tradition, I hope, for us, and this is great.
Yep, absolutely. The tradition has begun, sir. Trust me, and this is only the beginning. This is only the start, brother man. But this episode of the Buckeye Leafcast brought to you by Christie's Cleaning Services, LLC. It's not clean until it's Christie clean. Be sure to visit her Facebook page at Christie's Cleaning Services, LLC, and Columbus Wired for your premier source for sports in and around the Central Ohio area. Be sure to check us out at columbuswired.net. So Kevin's got it 49-10, Buckeyes over Spartans. I got it 31-10, Buckeyes over Spartans. And like I said, Kevin, next week, let's hope we're doing this again, and it's another beautiful Sunday where we're waking up to a big Buckeye W.
I hope it's a little cooler. I hope it's like 70 degrees, not 80 degrees.
Man, dude, I tell you what, it is stuffy right now. It's supposed to be like highs in the low 90s here the next couple days.
That's disgusting.
It is. Frickin' beginning of October, and we're in low 90s to start frigging.
I want
to
have my sweatshirt on when I'm going outside in the morning to drink my cup of coffee. I don't want to have a sweat towel in my hand.
Yeah, especially when you're drinking a nice hot cup of coffee. Even if it is, it's
got me all fired up this morning about the goddamn newspaper.
Oh, God, I love it. All right, brother, let's leave them like we always do on the Buckeye Leafcast. OH!
IO!
Go Bucks!
Go Bucks, baby!
I want to go back to Ohio State, to old Columbus Town, to